I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hi, and welcome to a joint episode of Giants Splash and A's Plus, the San Francisco Chronicle's podcast on the Giants, the Oakland A's, and Major League Baseball. I'm Chronicle A's writer Matt Kawahara, and today, Chronicle National Baseball writer John Shea and I are looking back to 1 year ago, when baseball abruptly shut down in the middle of spring training under the weight of the growing coronavirus pandemic. A's manager Bob Melvin and Giants manager Gabe Kapler will each share their recollections of that jarring and uncertain moment in baseball and the world. And John and I will recall what it was like to cover that from spring training camps in Arizona. All that now on this joint episode of Giants Splash and A's Plus. John, I'd like to start just by asking what you remember about the events leading up to Major League Baseball announcing that it was going to be pausing spring training and delaying opening day. What was happening in Giants camp? What stands out to you when you think back to that period?
It's just crazy looking back. It was somewhat normal. I mean, the morning of March 11th, I got this cool interview with Alyssa Nacken. It had been set up and we talked for about a half hour. And then I went to a backfield. It was kind of a drizzly, rainy day. The Giants were heading out to Surprise, but Buster Posey wasn't on the trip. He was working out back there, and he said something I never really forgot. He said, "Baseball's secondary. Figure the important stuff out first, then figure out baseball." And of course, I mean, and I spoke with Jeff Samardzija and Kevin Gausman that day, because those were two guys who played in that April 2015 game in Baltimore that had no fans. There was civil unrest and nobody was invited to the park. And that was the question at the time. Would games be played in empty ballparks? That was the question, not would baseball be shut down. And but it was almost surreal looking back that Kapler named Johnny Cueto the opening day starter after that game in Surprise. And wasn't that strange? I mean, we all were thinking the season would start on time, maybe without fans, maybe at neutral sites. But then, of course, that night, the NBA shut down after Rudy Gobert tested positive. And then the next day, the Giants were scheduled to be off. That was March 12th. And that was the day baseball shut down. And, you know, I kept going out to Scottsdale Stadium, and same with you and Mesa, to report on whatever was happening, the goings on. But, nothing was happening. And that Sunday, March 16th, I rented a car and started driving home.
The Posey comments, it sounds like, were pretty prescient. Obviously, he, when things started up again, he opted out of the season. But, and it's just, it's odd to look back on that now and knowing what you know, just kind of see what was coming.
Yeah, you're right. I never connected that, but you're right. Posey opted out. And another surreal moment is once again, the manager named Cueto the opening day starter right before things ramped up again in July. And so we wrote the same story all over again. But, you know, 60 games later and a postseason, and now a year later, here we are again.
Yeah, it was in A's camp. It was a little bit different. The March 11th, they were actually rained out that day. They were supposed to play a game against the Angels on the road. And I think they were actually on the way there and it was called off due to rain. So they turned around and went back, and they everybody showed up on the morning of March 12th. They had a game scheduled against the Dodgers. They didn't know if it was going to be played or not, because that was in the wake of the NBA shutting down. And there were thoughts, I think, that, you know, Major League Baseball wasn't going to be far behind. But the A's were all at Hohokam Stadium on the morning of March 12th. There was another kind of gray morning. There were players sort of filing in and out of the clubhouse. We did a couple interviews on the concourse. I talked to Jake Diekman and TJ McFarland, two left-handed relievers, about the new three-batter minimum rule. That was a story that I didn't end up writing. And there were guys kind of milling around, working out throwing a weight ball against the wall and just waiting. And then when the announcement came down, Bob Melvin came out of the clubhouse and talked to a few of us on the concourse. And part of his message was, yeah, it seems like it's time to slow down. There are things here that are happening that are a little bit bigger than baseball. And obviously I don't think anybody at that point, at least, you know, in that setting really had an idea of what it was going to turn into, but it was definitely a jarring moment. And yeah, like you said, I was, you know, going out to Hohokam Stadium for a couple of days after that, just to see if we could catch players. And the only one I really talked to was Chris Bassett, starting pitcher, who was loading up his truck to drive back home to North Carolina. And he said, basically, I don't know when we're going to get back together, but yeah, it was 3.5 months later, everybody reconvening in July. So right now we're going to hear from the managers of both teams. First, Bob Melvin of the A's, and then Gabe Kapler of the Giants will share their recollections of what happened in those few days and their thoughts on how baseball has evolved over the last year.
Well, I was on my way to a game against the Angels. And as I was on my way there, I got a text from Joe Maddon saying the game was canceled. So yeah, I think it was weather related though. And then we go back, you know, the first thing that stands out to me was the Rudy Gobert thing. So we're watching that in the morning, and I might've been the day before, I'm not sure, but that's the first thing that stood out to me about, okay, this thing could get in here pretty quickly. And then, you know, after that rain out, the next thing was a meeting, you know, amongst our team. It felt like there was like a day off. And then the day after that, it's done. So it happened quickly. It was dramatic to think about. It felt ominous. There was no timetable for us to come back. And as the days went on, it got more and more ominous. Like, are we actually even going to play this year?
I remember, I think it was March 12th, you came out to the concourse at Hohokam Stadium, and there were just a small group of us reporters standing around. And you talked to us for a couple minutes, and you basically said, one thing you said was, it's time to slow down, just generally. And I was wondering, what was your sense then of sort of the scope or the potential scope of this?
Yeah, you know, as I was saying that, though, in my mind, I was like, you know, I have to come out here and talk to you at a distance and so forth. I was thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. And then not only was it not ridiculous, the world changed. So those were my thoughts at that time when I came out there for the first time and had to talk to you guys at a distance.
What was your biggest concern in the moment, do you think, when everybody was going their separate ways?
If we were going to be able to play. You know, if we're going to be able to play baseball that year, let alone, you know, get spring training going again. So everybody went, it almost felt like the end of the season when you go home and you know it's going to be quite a while before, you know, you potentially get going again or if you get going at all. And then, you know, it becomes reality and then it just kind of fills you up and consumes you with, you know, now this is not just about baseball. This is about life in general and the safety for everybody in the world.
When you held that meeting or when the team held that meeting, did you sort of leave everybody with a message?
Really not, because there was so much uncertainty and whatever you felt like saying or whatever your thoughts were could change on a dime. And so we were just trying to leave it open. You know, stay close for a while and, you know, we'll get back to you once there's more clarity to the situation.
We asked Jake Diekman the other day about his memories of it. And he said that he was one of the players who thought that it wouldn't be such a long delay, that it might be a couple of weeks. I think at that point it was at least going to be paused a couple of weeks. And he thought everybody was going to be getting back together pretty soon. How would you best describe sort of the feeling in the clubhouse overall at first? Did it feel like that was a possibility? And
I think everybody probably had a different thought, you know. That's what I was hoping for. But in the back of my mind, you know, as the days went along, it did not seem realistic. But at that time, it was more hope than anything else. And that's what I, you know, I was trying to be optimistic and I was trying to be hopeful that it might only be a couple of weeks. But, you know, as the days went by after that, it seemed like each and every day, it seemed like that it was going to be a long shot.
A year later, how is baseball different?
Well, you know, I think the fact that we went through a season and went through the protocols and so forth, allowed us to be a little bit more comfortable. We came back testing now. It just feels like normal. You know, you test and then you go out and do your thing. It's the staggering of times. It's the staggering of stretch times. You know, it's really hard for me to see multiple fields out there because, you know, there's a couple of things I need to see and a couple more that I can't see. So you just try to pick what you think is the most important thing right now to observe, and then you get to the game and, you know, it's limited guys at the game too. So it's more the structure of the workouts that are still feel, because, you know, with Ryan, we're putting together schedules every day. That's still the hard part. That's the one that I hope at some point in time goes back to normal, where your whole team can, you know, team camaraderie is big. And right now in spring training, especially with all the new guys that we have, it's difficult to get to know the guys in the fashion that you normally do.
Routine and structure are so sort of ingrained in the culture of baseball. For you last season, when you were going through the 60-game season, what was the biggest, the most jarring difference for your routine as a manager?
It was hard every day. There was never a day where you felt like, you know, I'm getting used to this, because – you know, you're only, as a coaching staff, you were allowed to get there 6 hours before, or you're normally seven, and on advanced days, maybe even before that. So every advanced day seemed rushed, took you completely out of your routine. You had to find a way to maybe work out. I started doing yoga in my room and stuff on Well Beats or whatever, so I didn't feel rushed when I got to the ballpark, because we are so routine oriented and I'm off the charts routine oriented. So that was the hardest part of it. Just trying to slow your mind down to where, you know, once you got to the ballpark, you didn't feel like there was too much to do in too little time. And then, you know, early on, say you know, we went on the road, you kind of got used to home because of summer camp and starting at Oakland. Now we went on the road and you get there 6 hours before, it's advanced day, and now your buses pull up and the testing site's at a different place. So the buses have to go around and find the place, and now you feel like you're really rushed, and it was just hard the entire season to find any kind of routine at all.
Are you still doing yoga?
I did some in the off season, but I'm not right now. No.
Generally, maybe big picture and not just baseball, how has your perspective changed after a year of this?
Well, I think everybody realizes when you look at the numbers, you know, that have accumulated, that this is way bigger than sport. Sport has found a way to integrate with this. It's still hard. It's still risky. But all the sports have seemed to find, some easier than others, have found a way to continue to do this and try to make, you understand, I think more so that we're entertainment value. You know, when as a player, you know, it's a sport, it's a competition, you know, fans are in the stands. But now I think guys really took pride last year in that we could go back out there and be real entertainment value for a country that was completely shut down. And all you were watching sports wise were, you know, games from previous years. And, you know, that gets old after a while.
And just lastly, a year later, does it feel like baseball is either edging back toward what you would consider familiar or normal, or moving toward a new type of normal?
A little of both. But hopefully we want to see fans in the stands. We want to see packed ballparks. Whether that's feasible or not, that's what we want to see. That's where you really gain the energy. And you know, that was the thing that was probably most noticeable last year when you were playing, is, you know, there's a certain sense of you know, you gear up for a game, you go out, there's some nerves, which are always good. And then you go out and there's no fans and all of a sudden it's a letdown. And then you got to find a way to, you know, find some inspiration again.
Will that be the sort of the harbinger or the signal of normal is when there are fans in the building again?
I believe so. And not just 20%, you know, more so that, you know, 20% is great, but everybody's looking for more than that. And hopefully with the vaccine, you know, everybody's safe and everybody can come to games. And, you know, that's what everybody hopes for.
We'll be back with John's interview with Giants manager Gabe Kapler on his memories of the shutdown right after this. And remember, you can access all of our Giants and A's coverage and much more with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. Go to sfchronicle.com/pod. That's sfchronicle.com/pod.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, Gabe, could you reflect on a year ago? It was Wednesday, March 11th, and the Giants were in surprise to play the Rangers, and the game was called after five innings, wet grounds. And four of us were there, the reporters, myself and Chris Haft and Kerry Crowley, Mark Sanchez. And we had, you know, four of us had no idea what was to come. We were asking you about opening day starter, which you know, we're nice enough to say, hey, it's Johnny Cueto. And we were all giddy because we had something to write. We threw a headline on it. And we had no idea that, you know, we were hours away or a day away from a shutdown. But you were about to enjoy a long-awaited scheduled day off that Thursday, March 12th. But I was just curious on your reflections going back a year.
Yeah, no, I remember that conversation about Johnny Cueto after the game. Kind of feels like it was just yesterday. We wrapped up a pretty good game against the Rangers and discussed it just like you mentioned. It was kind of exciting for me to announce my first opening day starter with the Giants and obviously really looking forward to the season at that point. And look, we understood that we were in a time that we were going to need to be really careful, but I don't think anybody, and really careful because of the virus, but I don't think that anybody at that time was fully prepared for what was to come. And I don't think anybody at that time thought that, you know, we were going to shut things down at that point. But I think what that moment did for all of us in the industry was it demonstrated how serious this was, how much attention it needed, and how we were going to need to be resilient and stick together and really follow guidelines, protocols, and put health and safety first, which I think we did a really nice job of over the course of the summer and even to today after our spring training game today against the Brewers. I mean, every day we take it pretty seriously, and I think a year ago was the jumping off point.
Well, do you remember where you were when you first either got notified or saw it, you know, on online or with your phone or whatever source you used to obtain that information, or was it a phone call, or how and where were you? Because, you know, the club obviously had to inform everyone to stay clear of Scottsdale Stadium, and then it became clear, you know, within a day or so that, hey, you know, we're not playing ball, and eventually people started going home.
Yeah, this kind of astonishes me even. I don't remember how that information got to me. I assume it was via text message from Scott Harris or from Farhan, because at that point it would be my responsibility to inform our field staff and our club. So that's my assumption. But honestly, I don't remember exactly how that information came. I can tell you what happened after, which was it was a mad scramble to make sure that we got the information to all the parties that needed it as soon as possible. And we started making plans for, you know, what comes next. And we knew that we wouldn't be playing baseball anytime soon, but we didn't know how long it was going to be at that point. So, you know, we knew that we weren't going to be playing baseball the next day. That was for sure. And that in it of itself was enough of a surprise.
And I guess looking back, are you pretty proud of maybe baseball in general, but more in particular the Giants, how you as a franchise handled everything? Because it was so new to everybody.
Yeah, I am actually proud of the way the Giants handled things. I'm actually proud of the way the industry handled things. There are a lot of people around baseball who felt strongly that we weren't going to make it through last season. I think there were people, and I remember talking to national writers more in just conversations, and they were privy to a lot of the information from the various clubs around the league, thinking that we weren't going to, you know, start back up at all. And so, and at every turn, there has been and continues to be a ton of uncertainty. And so that's why I think it continues to be so important that we continue to focus on health and safety protocols, because we're just not out of the woods. And while it's really comforting to know that, you know, we have vaccines now that we can depend on, and that we, you know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has joined Moderna and Pfizer, we're still not out of the woods, and I think we continue to have to be diligent, and I don't want us to get overconfident at this point. I think we just have to take it as seriously as ever.
Yeah, we are a year removed to the day. And in your mind, how has baseball changed? I mean, that's a pretty broad question, but might there be one or two elements in the game on your mind that's, a year ago you would have said, wow, I never could have imagined that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like we all miss baseball the way we remember it. Mm-hmm. And I think what that means is coming to the ballpark like it was a second home, and not coming to the ballpark feeling like we have to be really careful. Because really, a major league clubhouse, it's a sacred space, but it's really a safe space for players and staff. It's a place to meet, to eat, to visit, to socialize, to empathize, to plan, to strategize. And right now, it doesn't feel like it is those things. Now it feels like a place to come in and get work done and get out as quickly as possible. And I think in particular, I feel most for people around the game like Ron Wotus, who really have come to expect the game to be a certain way when they're at the ballpark, and that it just doesn't bring them, or many of us for that matter. I don't want to say it's just Ron and others, but myself included. It doesn't bring that same level of satisfaction. It certainly feels great to compete, and I feel lucky, we all feel lucky to be at the ballpark every day, but it's not the same environment right now. So that clubhouse doesn't feel the same as it once did. I think that's the biggest change that we're all dealing with. And hey, like I just can't stress enough that I know that we are all in a very, very privileged position, and that there are people who have been, you know, isolated, away from their families, in some cases, and in other cases, not being able to go to work. And so we are so lucky and blessed, but since you asked the question about, you know, what's different, I'd say that's the most different.
Yeah, that's a great point. But now we're closing in on baseball 2021, and there's an expectation for better days, and the hope is for 162 games, unlike last year it was 60. But, you know, we know now that fans will be at the ballpark at Oracle, at least in limited numbers. And you're getting the team ready. These are the final weeks going in, and the season opener is not far off. What is your level of optimism as we move forward?
It's pretty high. I mean, John, you know me as a fairly optimistic person in general. So I think at an inning turn, I'm going to, you know, continue to have that lean. It's just natural for me. I think I got that from my dad, who had a similar outlook and kind of looked forward to each day. So I got to say, that's naturally who I am. In this particular case, that's elevated a little bit because we do have vaccines in place, and you know, people around the country and around the world are slowly getting vaccinated, which is creating a level of confidence that we haven't seen in a little while. And I think there is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel if we do things the right way. Just having limited fans in the stands in spring training has been a huge boost to morale. We love having our fans in the stands and just kind of hearing the cheers when something goes well, and sometimes even hearing the dissatisfaction when things don't. And we miss that. We feel like we're in a partnership with the fans, and they are a part of our team in many ways. And so we look forward to Oracle Park with fans in the stands. I think that's going to be a pretty sentimental moment for obviously everybody in the ballpark, but in particular for the fans and the players.
Well, this is wonderful. Thanks so much, Gabe. And we're all rooting for normalcy or something close to it. Good luck moving forward.
Enjoy the chat, John, as always.
That'll do it for this joint episode of Giant Splash and Ace Plus. Our thanks again to Bob Melvin and Gabe Kapler for joining us. Our producers today were G. Allen Johnson and Keen Kaufman. We'll be back soon with more Giants and A's coverage. Stay safe and thanks for listening.